We pray. Father, we come now to you, the God of grace, the God of all comfort, the God of peace. We come because we are in need of grace and comfort and peace, and pray now that by your Spirit, working through your word, you might calm our hearts, that we might receive the grace and peace that you would desire to give us. And Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes to see beyond the noise and the glitz and glamour of this world, to see what's truly beautiful in your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. What's the most impressive building that you have ever been in or seen? I know some of you have traveled to Europe, and perhaps you've been inside a European cathedral in all its glory and awe. Others of you have gone to see our friends in Uganda and along the way stopped in Dubai and saw the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. Or maybe closer to home, you've been to Washington, D.C. and seen the various buildings there and statues and monuments and you realize even with a tall ladder, you couldn't climb up into Lincoln's lap. For the disciples, it's clear the greatest building they've ever seen is the temple in Jerusalem. When Herod the Great rebuilt the temple, he doubled it in size as compared to Solomon's day. Josephus tells us there were stones as large as 30 feet deep and 70 feet wide, gold-plated. Mark chapter 13, just after our gospel reading, opens with the disciples and Jesus leaving the temple at the end of the day. You can imagine the sun low on the horizon, reflecting off the gold plating. And they're like country bumpkins come to the big city. They are in awe of these magnificent buildings. But it's not just the impressive buildings they see. They see impressive people. Jesus calls them the scribes. They're the teachers and interpreters of the law. And they're dressed to be noticed. They wear long flowing robes, like a Hollywood star on the red carpet. They're dressed to be seen and noticed. They command the honor and respect of the people as they stop and humbly offer their greetings. They seem to always be sitting in the best seats, the seats of privilege. And they're impressive with their performance in this religious context in the temple. It's praying, and they pray these long prayers. Jesus sees the impressive buildings, he sees the impressive people, but he's not impressed. Instead, Jesus warns the disciples about the scribes. He said, these scribes come to God's temple, to the presence of God, and they exalt themselves. These scribes, when they are with others, with the common people, they make clear in their pride they're superior to others. And these scribes use prayer not to cry out to God for mercy, but to impress the people. Jesus isn't impressed. At this point, he directs the disciples' attention to someone they missed, a poor widow. This poor widow gives two small coins to the temple offering box. Plink, plink. But of course, you probably couldn't even have heard those two coins amidst the hustle and bustle of the temple offering area, especially over the roar of the big givers as they dump their coins into the offering box. In other words, this poor widow's invisible. No one sees her, no one notices her. And if we're honest, her offering amounts to nothing. But Jesus sees her, and he wants us to see her. Why? At this point, you've probably heard this passage taught as a stewardship lesson. You know how it goes. While the big givers gave out of their abundance, barely even noticing a change to their net worth, this poor widow gave all she had, her very last coins to live on. And you too should follow the example of this poor widow and maybe not give all that you have, but at least give sacrificially to the new capital campaign that I'll announce later this morning. I'm actually not announcing a new capital campaign, and I'm not sure that's Jesus' point in pointing to this poor widow. This is Jesus' last visit to the temple before he goes to the cross. It seems a little odd that on his last visit to the temple, before he goes to the cross, he would pause and give a stewardship lesson just so future generations would be able to raise the funds to build their family life center. I think something more profound is going on here. We get a clue in Jesus' warning to the scribes in which he actually makes a connection between the scribes and this poor widow. I skipped one of the warnings. There's an additional warning that Jesus says about the scribes. He says they devour widows' houses. Now think for a moment. As Jesus goes through the other warnings, the disciples can see it right there before their eyes. They can see the long robes. They can see the flattering greetings. They can see the scribes sitting in the places of honor. They can see and hear the long prayers. But what does it look like that the scribes are devouring widows' houses? Jesus points to the poor widow who gives her last two coins. She has nothing left. And for what? For what does she give these two coins? Do these two coins go to buy even more ostentatious robes for the scribes? Perhaps they go to buy cushions for these seats of honor so the scribes could be even more comfortable. Perhaps for more gold plating on the temple. This is how the scribes devour widows' houses. They take their last two coins to spend it on their personal honor and comfort. Don't you want to stop her? Don't you want to say, wait, don't give your last two coins. It's a scam. This is a corrupt church. Don't do it. But she does it. The poor widow gives all she has for a corrupt people in a corrupt temple. And Jesus doesn't stop her. Jesus doesn't even speak to her. He doesn't even encourage her. He simply points to her. And in the midst of the impressive buildings and the impressive people, he wants us to see this poor widow. He points to her because in this poor widow, he sees a beautiful picture of himself. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and at the cross, he will give his all, his very life, and he will do it for a corrupt people and a corrupt church. He will give his life as an offering for the sins of the whole world. He'll do it for the impressive people and the struggling people, for the in crowd and the down and out, for the pompous and for the humble, for the powerful and the weak, for the eye-catching and the invisible. And few will even notice. For the very people who dismissed him and ridiculed and scoffed and ultimately condemned him, he gives everything he has. He gives it all for them. And for you, and for me. The beauty of the church today is not found in soaring arches or intricate stained glass or in pews filled with impressive people, certainly not in the pulpits of preachers with lofty words. The beauty of the church today is seen in her people, who receive this sacrificial love of Christ. A love that Dr. David Schmidt says not only forgives our sin, but transforms our lives. We become temples of the Holy Spirit, beautiful in the kingdom, because we overflow with God's self-sacrificial love. I think of the single mom. Gets up on Sunday, the only day off she has, her bone-weary body, screaming for one morning to sleep in, but she gets up. She gets her two daughters up. They whine, they complain, they fight. They don't really want to go to church, but she brings them to church. She's not known. Few even know her name. Her two jobs don't allow her to volunteer for the service project, to attend the Bible study, but she offers this hour to bring her daughters to church in hope that they will know a father who keeps his promises, who loves them. Her offering of an hour is pretty insignificant in light of the week, but Jesus sees her, and he sees that offering. Or I think of the well-dressed and well-off gentleman who's very successful and very wealthy, and he has no shortage of people who know his name and talk to him, because at the next capital campaign, we're going to need his help. But what goes unseen is every Sunday his heart breaks as he comes to church, but his sons have rejected the faith. And while those around him envy him, he would gladly give it all away if only his sons would return to the faith. And Jesus sees. Jesus sees those prayers. I don't know what sacrifices you're making now, but I want you to know, when you sacrifice for others, when you sacrifice for the church, when it seems no one notices, when it seems no one cares, when it seems even in your sacrifice draws dismissal, rejection, I want you to know Jesus sees. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you because he knows what it's like to give his all for a world that doesn't seem to care, because he gave his all for you. He gave his all for me. We pray. Father, what grace that you have poured out to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we rebels, we sinners, who are undeserved of your grace, and yet Jesus died for us. He died for all. Father, open our eyes to the sacrifice of the widow that points to the greater sacrifice of the Savior. And Lord, would you give us hearts? Would you give us hearts that gladly sacrifice for others, whether seen or unseen, that the love of Christ might be known to all? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.